It is now 8:08 here at WCCO Radio. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do is be here with you on a Sunday. And this next guest, I am so excited about it because we really need to try to understand what this is all about. We're talking about the Campaign Legal Center. And let me tell you a little bit about our guest. This week, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a ruling that only the federal government is allowed to bring a lawsuit under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Now, this ruling, which is expected to be challenged at the Supreme Court, could signify a major blow to private citizens or civil rights groups who bring the majority of claims in favor of voting rights for marginalized groups. Now, to look more closely at the impact of the Eighth Circuit's decision, we welcome Mark Gaber. He's a senior director of redistricting at the Campaign Legal Center. We welcome him to the show, and he joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Geraldine.
This is so important to talk about. Tell us a little bit about the Campaign Legal Center first.
Sure, absolutely. So we're a nonpartisan nonprofit based in Washington, D.C., and we focus on voting rights, redistricting, anti-gerrymandering, campaign finance reform, and government ethics, all sort of with the aim of having a better government, more representative for all folks across the country.
It is shocking to me that we consistently have to deal with this topic. A federal appeals court ruling threatens enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. You know, this is terrifying to Americans, absolutely terrifying. And there are many people that may sit back and laugh about this, but this is very, very real. What do you say to yourself about, are we here again? Why are we here again?
Well, I know it's like, one step forward, two steps back. So folks may know that earlier this year, in a decision that surprised a lot of people, the U.S. Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision with Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh joining with some of the more liberal justices ruled that the Voting Rights Section 2, it's called, of the Voting Rights Act, was still constitutional and still in effect and protected voting rights to make sure that particularly in redistricting, that black and brown communities were not split apart intentionally or otherwise and to dilute their voting strength. And so that was a real big boon to the cause and to have that reinvigoration from the Supreme Court this year. And, it's only been, that happened in June. It's November now. And all of a sudden you have this decision this week from the Eighth Circuit. And for folks who don't know, the Eighth Circuit is the Court of Appeals that covers Minnesota, the Dakotas, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Nebraska. And that federal appeals court said in a 2-1 decision that private citizens can't bring suits under the Voting Rights Act, that only the United States government can do that. And that's just a huge, I don't think it's going to withstand. I think that, don't like to make bets, but I think the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to go for this, having just said in a suit from Alabama that was brought by private litigants, having just said, this is A-OK. Mm-hmm. It would be a horrible thing if this became the law. The Department of Justice doesn't have the capacity or the resources to bring these suits, and oftentimes isn't being controlled by folks who are in favor of them.
I don't understand how we have gotten to where we are, sir. It is very frustrating to me. We've been talking about some of these same issues for a very long time. And then things creep in. And before you know it, we hear about the changes here and the changes there. We have heard so much about, oh my gosh, how you have to, go out there and try to make sure that everyone is able to vote and everyone is able to participate. And I don't see it anymore. And all of these things that keep happening, like what we're talking about tonight, it almost feels as though we will never get out of it. I feel like I'm drowning. The joy that I had about elections and about voting. I mean, I vote every year. I vote. And I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. And then new things start happening and changing how we do this. And that is it really healthy for us?
Well, no. But voting is certainly healthy. And I think that the most important thing is that notwithstanding these setbacks that we see from those who want to prevent people from having their voices heard, it's so important that people to continue to participate and show up. because even, you know, just as a, you know, I litigate about voting rights. And so it's important to me that people show up so I can keep fighting for people's voting rights in court, because it depends on voter turnout, and that data goes into the court cases. And so it might seem like it's a struggle and like you're not actually achieving anything, but oftentimes we end up winning, you know, and the good side will win. And then, but we need that turnout for our court cases as well. So it's super important that people continue to participate and not let those who want to stop you from prevailing.
Well, looking back over the last 6 years, we already know that there are plenty of people that are moving away from voting. You know, maybe they weren't the ones that were voting initially anyway, but, you know, you want to try to encourage them. How do you do that anymore, considering what they have learned, considering what we have all watched? And it seems as though, you know, those that who want to tell everybody else, you get to vote, but yeah, all of these people over here don't get to vote. That's what it feels like. And then people give up. I've had young people say, why should I vote? They change everything before we can even find out, okay, is this what I really want? Or they change the language. They change the way we vote. The times are changing, right? Okay, no, you don't get to vote between 10 and 3. You get to only vote between 12 and 2. You know, that sort of thing. It's frustrating. So what do we say to Americans today who are frustrated and they're ready to throw in the towel and go, you know what, I don't even want to read about it. I don't want to know about it, and I don't want to vote.
Just take a deep breath and get back into it and make sure you participate, because that is the, you know, by having types of restrictions, that's the goal, is to prevent people from participating. And you just really cannot let that work, because then if you do that, you're handing over the government and all the decisions that, and we've all seen how important it is to actually have good policies in place. And all of that comes back to voting and participating and making sure that the people who are elected understand that they are accountable to the people. And so if, you know, you never let that sort of sense of doom about how our elections work take hold, because then we certainly will have lost our rights.
We certainly would have lost our rights, and that in itself will be a disaster for so many Americans. To become quiet and just not participate would be a disaster. I don't know what else to say to those who are disheartened, who don't really understand why this is happening. Why are these people who want to make these significant, or I should say severe, changes to our, you know, to what we understand as Americans? And that is the part I don't know how to answer that to the people I want to talk to. Sir, I hope that you don't mind, Mark, that we take a break and then come back and have our second segment with you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Mark Gaber, Senior Director of Redistricting at the Campaign Legal Center. Stay tuned. It is now 8:20 here at WCCO. We are joined with Mark Gaber, Senior Director of Redistricting, a Campaign Legal Center is where he's from. And I'm so excited that he's joining us tonight. And just to give you a little taste, if you're just joining us now, this week the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals issued a ruling that only the federal government is allowed to bring a lawsuit under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Here's the thing for me, and welcome back, of course, Mark. Really appreciate you sticking and staying with us. You know, after reviewing the text, history, and structure of the Voting Rights Act, the district court concluded that private parties cannot enforce Section 2, the judges wrote, and the enforcement power belongs solely to the Attorney General of the United States. What do you say about that?
You know, this is just such an outlier that the private parties have been bringing lawsuits under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act for the past 50 plus years, you know. And in particular, since it was reauthorized in 1982. And no court anywhere in the country has, before this case, has ever concluded that they could not do so. Clearly, Congress, when it reauthorized the Voting Rights Act, Section 2, in 1982, it was specifically with the intent that private parties would do this. And I think it's just sort of a fringe theory that developed over the past few years. And like I said earlier, it's sort of a game of whack-a-mole in voting rights law. And so each time, you know, one of these obstacles comes up, we have to defeat it. and swatted away. I'm pretty confident that we will succeed with this case as well. Notably, this wasn't a unanimous decision. There was the chief judge of the Eighth Circuit dissented and found that this was wrong and that private parties have the right to sue. And that's clearly what Congress intended. And I just, it was disheartening to see the decision, but I wasn't surprised to see it. And I expect that the U.S. Supreme Court will overturn this decision.
Here's where I am, sir. I'm at the point where mayhem is about to happen. People are so frustrated. It keeps changing. It's ever changing. There's always someone coming forth to change another law. You know, add this to it, subtract this to it. And it's very frustrating. What does it look like for you 30, 50 years from now in the United States if we are, you know, going in this direction?
Well, the good news is that we've certainly made progress since the 60s and the 70s and the 80s in terms of voting rights. And hopefully we continue to make that progress. I think there will always be forces out there that are trying to move things backwards. But certainly Minnesota sort of stands out as a shining star of a state that has very open access to voting and has, high voter participation and is kind of a national example to use for other states. And so I'm always a hopeful person. I see things and as positive a light as I can. And I think that some of our earlier wins this year in the U.S. Supreme Court, against the odds that people thought, show that, we really can make progress. And so this is I see this week as a setback, but not one, as I said, that I think will be a permanent setback. I see this as being short-lived. And I think that when those sort of setbacks arise and when we defeat them, it actually has the opposite effect of those who support it want. It shows that the Voting Rights Act is, permanent and will last and will work. And so I'm hopeful that that's what will come out of this.
I have faith in our president. I really do. He works hard. I get tired of people talking about how old he is, which ageism is a real, issue in our country. Sure. Again, right? It used to be taken care of, but no, it's back. So as we keep moving forward and we know that it keeps changing, I keep asking myself, then what can I do? I know that I can still vote, right? Thank goodness they haven't taken that away. I know that I can keep voting. I know I can keep going to people saying, please vote, please vote. But there has to be something louder and stronger, because that's what we're hearing from the other side. What would you suggest?
I think you're right about you got to vote. You got to talk to people and get them to vote. You got to talk to the younger generation and make sure that they understand that people fought and died for their right to vote and make their voices heard. And when they do that, they elect people that will listen to them. And so I think that's the most important thing, but I also think it's important to reach out to your members of Congress and to your state legislators. They, people might not realize this, but they listen when they hear from people. And if their phones ring off the hook about a particular issue, they take note of it. They tell the person who's answering the phone, tells their boss, this is how many people called on this issue. And you can actually change minds by striking the fear into people that maybe they have an issue that they might not get reelected on. And so I think it's important to have your voices heard both at the ballot box, and just vocally and to your representatives.
Well, I agree with you on that. I just worry that it's not enough, sir. I just worry that it's not enough. What I am grateful for is for you, Mark. I really appreciate you working so hard for those of us that really need to understand it, need to know, and need to continue to vote and go out and get as many as possible to do the same. So I honor you for that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope we can call on you again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Carolyn, for having me.
All right. Take care of yourself, sir. Goodness, everyone. I don't know about you, but in our country, it's really tough what's going on. And a lot of us would like to just look at it and go, I have nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter. They don't want to hear from me. Yeah, I don't care. And if you don't care, then there will be many, many more that won't care. And then what are you going to do? Mark is doing his job. How about you do yours? I will continue to do mine. It's time to take a break. A couple of minutes. Okay. I do want to say in the last paragraph of this article, it says the immediate next step. We didn't talk about the next step, except he said he's going to keep fighting. But the immediate next step following Monday's ruling was not immediately clear. Legal experts expect the case to end up in front of the Supreme Court. Oh, goodness, again and again and again. The Supreme Court could choose to hear an appeal directly, or the entirety of the Eighth Circuit could weigh in on the case first. Lacken, the ACLU attorney, said early Monday afternoon that the challengers had not yet decided our next step of actions. And as you all know, when it comes to politics, comes to changes in what we have all established, whether it's the Constitution or outside of that, it's amazing how our next steps can falter as well. It says here, but Lacken noted the recent circuit split makes her believe that the Supreme Court will be interested in taking up the case. What does that really mean, though? Is that powerful enough? For me, it's difficult. I hope that you will continue to vote. I hope you would fight to make sure others will vote. Keep having election parties. Keep having voting parties. Get as many people gathering as you can, especially those young people who are about to turn 18. You know, make sure you stick and stay with them if you can. All right, everyone, it's been a pleasure talking about this, even though it hurts me, you know. It hurts my heart to know that we are constantly having to deal with these same subjects and nothing seems to be getting better. But I'm excited about talking about Minnesota Small Business Development Center, and that's going to be Andy Donahue coming up at 8:35. So stay tuned. We'll be back. It is now 8:32 here at WCCO. Welcome back, and I'm excited for our next guest. Okay, so yesterday the mom and pop shops got their day in the sun, no doubt about it. Small Business Saturday highlights the local companies that are the heartbeat of our neighborhoods. But while you were shopping for the holiday gifts, did it inspire you to potentially open a shop of your own that people can celebrate next year? Well, to discuss how you can begin your own company's journey, we have Andy Donahue, State Director of the Minnesota Small Business Development Center, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. How are you, sir, and welcome?
Well, I am well, and thank you for having me this evening.
This is a great idea to get the word out. If you're interested in doing this, come on, come see us. That's a big deal. Have you already started hearing people respond?
Oh, all the time. No matter if it's the holiday season or any other time of the year, you know, small business owners and entrepreneurs are really looking to, you know, start their own business and really take those first steps to launch in their own entrepreneurial journey. And even though, you know, during the holidays, it really, you know, motivates them a little bit more seeing all the other small businesses that are around their region.
Right. So what are the first steps?
First steps is, you know, you really want to first come up with your plan of action. What do you want to do? You know, the one thing that has really changed over the last few years is a lot of individuals that have had hobbies, some passion projects they've gone ahead, they've really been able to really bring those ideas to light. So what I would recommend is obviously first come to your local small business development center that provides no cost consulting for any entrepreneur that's looking at starting their own business. From there, we'll be able to get you set up with one of our no-cost consultants, and they'll be able to work with you through your plan of action from start to finish.
Now, that sounds really easy when you say it like that. And, of course, my heart is beating fast because we know that it is not as easy as many people think it is. I do believe that it's getting to the point where there are so many young people, you know, those between the ages of 20 years old all the way up to 40 years old that are saying, I think I'm going to throw my hat in. I mean, I've talked to a few people and I was like, wow, you actually did it. This is so awesome. So when you hear people say, I think I want to do that, do you begin immediately saying, we can help you, we can make this happen for you? Or do you say, well, maybe you want to do a little more research?
You know, a little bit of both. You know, it's, you know, everybody has their own, you know, way of how they want to have their pace to go. And some individuals will come into our local office and say, let's get going right away. They'll have their own research already done. They'll have their plan of action, you know, ready to go, business plan, some financial projections. But then there's some that really want that guidance. And from that, that really expertise that we do offer through our local SBDCs, and to really sit down and understand the journey and how they need to set up their plan of action, how much research they need to do. So everybody is really at their own pace, and we can cater to that, their guidance, to what speed they want to go. You know, I've worked with clients myself, and some will start within a couple months, and some will take a couple years, and we just really will go at the pace that they want to go.
You know, we've lost some really great nonprofits that were working on these sort of things, especially when it comes to women and their businesses. And, you know, a lot of them have slowed down. Some of them have had to close. And I wonder, how do you start all over again? Has that happened to you? Have you all sat and said, okay, we need to totally rework this and do it a different way, a better way?
Yeah, you know, if the last few years have, you know, taught us anything, is really looking at that opportunity where, you know, businesses have to pivot for one, but then also those individuals that may have had a, you know, a loss in their business, you know, to really start over and look, how can we change direction? How can we change the way we do business, especially in today's, you know, marketplace, and really cater to who is our customer and where can they find my product, whether it's in our local stores, having an online presence, or however we can meet them, you know, if it's in any of those different areas and so on.
In my head and heart, I always think of the people that are getting into these businesses, that they need a team of people that stick and stay with them. Is that who you do? Is that what you do?
We absolutely do. You know, we have a wide variety throughout the state of Minnesota. You know, our 9 regional offices are, you know, all over the state. But beyond that, we have about 125 different unique consultants that can work with entrepreneurs throughout their entrepreneur journey. So anybody that's tied in marketing, QuickBooks, you know, financial literacy, a little bit of legal, we have the whole gamut of consultant expertise throughout the state. And beyond that, you know, I've always advised, you know, entrepreneurs that we've worked with is to surround yourself with a team. You know, their goal of being an entrepreneur is really, you know, putting their passion forward and, you know, focusing in on what made them, you know, start the business, and to surround themselves then with people that, you know, can make them even better and have a fantastic team around them.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You're one of the things I can imagine that you do is that to make sure that their focus is clear, that the title of whatever it is that they have chosen to begin a business in, all of those things really matter, right? The names, mm-hmm. the people, the where it's located, all of those things really matter. When people come in and talk to you, do you start where? Where do you start by advising them?
Yeah, we start at, you know, a lot of that foundational stuff, and there's a couple different ways we can do that. We can look at just doing a simple business plan, you know, with a client, that if they have some ideas on paper, but some will just come in and say, here's my idea, this is what I'm thinking of doing, and where do I start from here? And a lot of times we'll really get into the nitty-gritty foundational stuff. Just like if you're building a house or if you have another project, you want to really have that solid foundation. So we challenge them and have them do a little bit of research ahead of time, or, you know, beyond that, as what I like to say, their homework assignment is to go talk to individuals, go talk to who might be your customer and find out if there is a need for that product or service. And if there is, great, we can go to the next step. And if not, maybe it's just pivoting the direction where they want to go. So really looking at those key and crucial, you know, pieces of information that you need to have as a foundation. Because the last thing you want to be doing is when you start your own business is to, you know, fall, you know, apart right away without having those important conversations and doing your research. So having, you know, the research that you can do from a secondary market, but also a lot of those face-to-face customer interactions right away is going to make your business very crucial and very set up for success in the future.
When you say success, explain that to me. Is there a certain amount of time that the business is doing well, or do you say, we need you to get to this point? I don't care if it's 1 year, 6 months, or something like that, and we know that you're solid, and we can continue. I loved reading that you guys work with entrepreneurs from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you also help them to expand. That's a really big deal, because we would all need that information for sure if we chose to do it.
Sure, and success for every entrepreneur is defined so differently. You know, some are just looking to get a product to market. Some will say, hey, I want to be making, you know, $250,000 to $300,000 in revenue per year. Some others will be say, I want to be expanding it, you know, by year three. So really success is measured in a whole variety of different ways, but it's really measured by how fast and where the entrepreneur wants to go. And you're right, you know, we will certainly work with our clients through the Small Business Development Centers and work with them on every stage of the business, from that startup all the way through that second stage in expansion. So there's really no stop point. We go to that the direction where the business owner wants to go, you know, whether it's just going at a slower pace for them or.
It is now 8:32 here at WCCO. Welcome back, and I'm excited for our next guest. Okay, so yesterday the mom and pop shops got their day in the sun, no doubt about it. Small Business Saturday highlights the local companies that are the heartbeat of our neighborhoods. But while you were shopping for the holiday gifts, did it inspire you to potentially open a shop of your own that people can celebrate next year? Well, to discuss how you can begin your own company's journey, we have Andy Donahue, State Director of the Minnesota Small Business Development Center, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. How are you, sir, and welcome?
Well, I am well. Thank you for having me this evening.
This is a great idea to get the word out. If you're interested in doing this, come on, come see us. That's a big deal. Have you already started hearing people respond?
Oh, all the time. You know, no matter if it's the holiday season or any other time of year, you know, small business owners and entrepreneurs are really looking to, you know, start their own business and really take those first steps to launch in their own entrepreneur journey. And even the, you know, during the holidays, it really, you know, motivates them a little bit more seeing all the other small businesses that are around their region.
Right. So what are the first steps?
First steps is, you know, you really want to first come up with your plan of action. What do you want to do? You know, the one thing that has really changed over the last few years is a lot of individuals that have had hobbies, some passion projects they've gone ahead, they've really been able to really bring those ideas to light. So what I would recommend is obviously first come to your local small business development center that provides no cost consulting for any entrepreneur that's looking at starting their own business. From there, we'll be able to get you set up with one of our no-cost consultants, and they'll be able to work with you through your plan of action from start to finish.
Now, that sounds really easy when you say it like that. And, of course, my heart is beating fast because we know that it is not as easy as many people think it is. I do believe that it's getting to the point where there are so many young people, you know, those between the ages of 20 years old all the way up to 40 years old that are saying, I think I'm going to throw my hat in. I mean, I've talked to a few people and I was like, wow, you actually did it. This is so awesome. So when you hear people say, I think I want to do that, do you begin immediately saying, we can help you, we can make this happen for you? Or do you say, well, maybe you want to do a little more research?
You know, a little bit of both. You know, it's, you know, everybody has their own, you know, way of how they want to have their pace to go. And some individuals will come into our local office and say, let's get going right away. They'll have their own research already done. They'll have their plan of action, you know, ready to go, business plan, some financial projections. But then there's some that really want that guidance and from that really expertise that we do offer through our local SBDCs, and to really sit down and understand the journey and how they need to set up their plan of action, how much research they need to do. So everybody is really at their own pace, and we can cater to that, their guidance, to what speed they want to go. You know, I've worked with clients myself, and some will start within a couple months and some will take a couple years, and we just really will go at the pace that they want to go.
You know, we've lost some really great nonprofits that were working on these sort of things, especially when it comes to women and their businesses. And, you know, a lot of them have slowed down. Some of them have had to close. And I wonder, how do you start all over again? Has that happened to you? Have you all sat and said, okay, we need to totally rework this and do it a different way, a better way?
Yeah, you know, if the last few years have, you know, taught us anything, is really looking at that opportunity where, you know, businesses have to pivot for one, but then also those individuals that may have had a, you know, a loss in their business, you know, to really start over and look, how can we change direction? How can we change the way we do business, especially in today's, you know, marketplace, and really cater to who is our customer and where can they find my product, whether it's in our local stores, having an online presence, or however we can meet them, you know, if it's in any of those different areas and so on.
In my head and heart, I always think of the people that are getting into these businesses, that they need a team of people that stick and stay with them. Is that who you do? Is that what you do?
We absolutely do. You know, we have a wide variety throughout the state of Minnesota. You know, our 9 regional offices are, you know, all over the state. But beyond that, we have about 125 different unique consultants that can work with entrepreneurs throughout their entrepreneur journey. So anybody that's tied in marketing, QuickBooks, you know, financial literacy, a little bit of legal, we have the whole gamut of consultant expertise throughout the state. And beyond that, you know, I've always advised, you know, entrepreneurs that we've worked with is to surround yourself with a team. You know, their goal of it being an entrepreneur is really, you know, putting their passion forward and, you know, focusing in on what made them, you know, start the business, and to surround themselves then with people that, you know, can make them even better and have a fantastic team around them.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You one of the things I can imagine that you do is that to make sure that their focus is clear, that the title of whatever it is that they have chosen to begin a business in, all of those things really matter, right? The names, the people, the where it's located, all of those things really matter. When people come in and talk to you, do you start where? Where do you start by advising them?
Yeah, we start at, you know, a lot of that foundational stuff, and there's a couple different ways we can do that. We can look at just doing a simple business plan, you know, with a client, that if they have some ideas on paper, but some will just come in and say, here's my idea, this is what I'm thinking of doing, and where do I start from here? And a lot of times we'll really get into the nitty-gritty foundational stuff. Just like if you're building a house or if you have another project, you want to really have that solid foundation. So we challenge them and have them do a little bit of research ahead of time, or, you know, beyond that, as I like to say, their homework assignment is to go talk to individuals, go talk to who might be your customer and find out if there is a need for that product or service. And if there is, great, we can go to the next step. And if not, maybe it's just pivoting the direction where they want to go. So really looking at those key and crucial, you know, pieces of information that you need to have as a foundation. Because the last thing you want to be doing is when you start your own business is to, you know, fall, you know, apart right away without having those important conversations and doing your research. So having, you know, the research that you can do from a secondary market, but also a lot of those face-to-face customer interactions right away is going to make your business very crucial and very set up for success in the future.
When you say success, explain that to me. Is there a certain amount of time that the business is doing well, or do you say, we need you to get to this point? I don't care if it's 1 year, 6 months, or something like that, and we know that you're solid, and we can continue. I loved reading that you guys work with entrepreneurs from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you also help them to expand. That's a really big deal, because we would all need that information for sure if we chose to do it.
Sure, and success for every entrepreneur is defined so differently. You know, some are just looking to get a product to market. Some will say, hey, I want to be making, you know, $250,000 to $300,000 in revenue per year. Some others will be say, I want to be expanding it, you know, by year three. So really success is measured in a whole variety of different ways, but it's really measured by how fast and where the entrepreneur wants to go. And you're right, you know, we will certainly work with our clients through the Small Business Development Centers and work with them on every stage of the business, from that startup all the way through that second stage and expansion. So there's really no stop point. We go to the direction where the business owner wants to go, you know, whether it's just going at a slower pace for them, or if they want to be expanding in, you know, year three or year four and doing some different things, you know, we're at their pace.
Yeah, we've had some hard times, of course, in the last 4 years. And I know people were really scared. They said, you know, they're ready to go. I've talked to entrepreneurs that were really considering going all the way. And sometimes they say, nope, need another 2 years or need another 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. How do you encourage them when they come to you and say, this is what I knew I wanted to do, but now I'm not so sure?
You know, it's really having that conversation and, you know, challenging them to see what might be holding them up a little bit, whether maybe it's a financial aspect of it, maybe it's a fear of failing. A lot of, you know, clients and entrepreneurs that we've worked with over the last 3 to 4 years have all gone through the same thing with, you know, COVID and what happened with that. So really asking those questions to them and really finding what those pain points are and helping them overcome those obstacles. It's just like anything else that, you know, we face, and whether it's a job, career, family, or anything like that, there's always little obstacles that get thrown in your way. So how do you overcome those, and having those communication, you know, with the client, or pointing them in the right direction and providing that support for them if it is something that they need to be focused on?
Yeah. Have you started a small business before?
I have, yes.
How challenging was it?
A little bit of, You know, it was challenging because, you know, you have to, you know, set aside a lot of fears. You have to, you know, make sure that you do your research ahead of time and making sure there is a market for it. You know, there's so much that has changed even in the last decade of the way business is operating.
Right.
It is important to do a lot of that research ahead of time because, honestly, it's changing on a daily basis. If we look at how much technology has changed over the last couple of years,
exactly.
That changes daily. So you always have to be, you know, right, you know, in front of it. And if you don't know how to do it, making sure you have that team, as we mentioned, around you that can help support you through these times.
Yeah, I sure hope that there are enough people to help because there are so many women specifically that really want to start businesses. And sometimes it is absolutely terrifying. And other times they find a place where they go, you know what, I'm comfortable now. I think I can actually do this. And many of them are succeeding. I love seeing women come forward. What are what would you say the average age of a person who is starting a business now in Minnesota? What age would that be?
You know, we're seeing a lot all across the whole spectrum. We see a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, anywhere from that age from 25 to 45, you know, as you mentioned earlier. But we're also seeing a lot of entrepreneurs that are in their retirement phase that are looking to get out of their career and want to have one of those passion projects. They'll either open up like a little small boutique, small coffee shop. You know, we've seen it all over the spectrum. So there is really no limitation on, you know, an age demographic right now because there's so many different entrepreneurs that have a wide variety of passions. They're starting all over the age spectrum.
Right. It's so true. By the way, there are a lot of teenagers, you know, that are 16, 17 years old that have really found their space, right? Their place where mm-hmm. They know exactly what it is that they want to do. Can they, too, come to the Minnesota Small Business Development Center and find out what the possibilities are for them to have a business?
Sure, we can certainly guide them. Usually, you know, we do start at the age of 18, you know, about when we were able to consult, but we do have worked with some other teenagers there that 15, 16, 17 years old mm-hmm. With a parent or guardian along with them, just because there's so much information out there. We want to make sure that they're ready for success. And a lot of the education that they're getting now, even in the high school programs, or even of some of those pre-secondary opportunities that the high schools and colleges are having, it gives them a great foundational basis for starting their own business.
Yeah. And of course, you mentioned technology. Technology is one of the key success movement, right? If you want to be successful, you got to make sure that you know that you want this, that you're going to work really hard for mm-hmm. it. How often do you say, we had this really big group last year or 5 years ago, and now it's dwindling? Do you see that? Do you say that? Or do you say, no, they are thriving?
No, we certainly want to make sure that we present as many tools to their success, you know, especially the way that technology has changed and really have themselves, you know, on a digital footprint. You know, there's so many different ways in how they could advertise in the past. You know, that's obviously has changed. And so how much can we put forward from a digital marketplace and making sure that they're engaged in an online community and finding those tools out there? You know, there's so many different ways in how you can be looking at that and having a two-way conversation online, just like how you would be face-to-face. But you can do it now in a digital space itself. So there's so many different ways in how an entrepreneur can find that. You know, there might be different groups out there, but there's so many more that they can choose from now that weren't here even 5 years ago.
It's so true. And, you know, small business might sound small, but some of these businesses are really thriving and doing very well, and I'm grateful for it. So thank you for what you do, Andy Donahue. Thank you so much. If people want more information, where do they go?
So sure, certainly, they can. If you want to look for information on the Small Business Development Center here in Minnesota, you can go to www.mnsbdc.com. That's our Minnesota SBDC website. Mm-hmm. Through the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, DEED is our hosting agency here through the state. You can certainly go to joinusmn.com and see a lot of the different funding opportunities that are out there, a lot of the different partners and resources that we have available between the SBDC, Launch Minnesota, and our other organizations that we do partner with throughout the state.
Right. Final question. Are our neighboring states doing better than we are when it comes to small business?
Are our neighboring states doing better?
Yeah.
I would say they're equal, but Minnesota is certainly ahead of the game. I worked in Wisconsin for a number of years, you know, in my former role with the SBDC, and we have a lot of great resources here in Minnesota that entrepreneurs can take advantage of that other states just certainly do not have.
You just made my day, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us tonight. Andy. You take care, and I hope to have you back on.
I would love to be back on anytime.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, if you want more information, all you have to do is go to MNSBDC.com to get more information, because there are so many people who I have talked to, women especially, women of color, that say, I really want to start a business, and I'm watching all these other women that are doing it. I'm watching young people do it. I should be able to do it. And then you jump in, and it's terrifying to some, and others say, I got to learn this. I got to figure this out. And they do. So congratulations to those of you who have really put everything into it, and you actually made it happen. This is not something that easily happens. Some people really struggle, and before you know it, they're out of the business. But that doesn't mean they come back and try again. It doesn't mean that they don't. Maybe they've already got the name of it. Maybe they've already established the business. And then all of a sudden they walk away and say it's not working out. Try again. Try again. Until you can't try anymore. That's what I say. All right, everyone. Coming up next is Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment. We believe you ought to know about it. And I tell you, there's so much going on in the Twin Cities. So much in the great state of Minnesota. And so I encourage you to really read about what the young people are doing. There are artists out there, like there's a family of four siblings that sing, and they're called None Above. And if you have never heard of them, I really hope that you will, because they are remarkable. They kind of remind me, I'm from Gary, Indiana, so I, you know, a lot of us knew where the Jackson Five lived, and we loved to sit and listen. My brothers would always talk about them being on the corners doing doo-wop and that sort of thing. And can you just imagine what that would be like in so many other places? I just keep saying to myself, no matter what it is, if you want to perform, if you want to sing, then do it. Try it out. It doesn't mean you will be perfect at first. It does not mean that. We all made mistakes, including me. We all make mistakes even today, right? So don't let go of it. Keep trying. Keep going. You know, go over those lyrics that you wrote over and over and over again until you cannot not do it. All right. Enough said. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. It is now 8:53 here at WCCO. Welcome back. And as we wrap up this hour, there's a lot of stuff that we all need to be considering, too, as we enjoy the holidays, as we keep moving into December. I know that sometimes it's a lot. It's a lot on us, right? You don't know exactly what to do. You'll say, oh, my gosh, I don't have the time to wrap gifts and go shopping and even get online. It's a lot. It's a lot that's going on in our world, especially here in the great state of Minnesota, and specifically the Twin Cities. There are challenges. I hear, oh my gosh, I hear ambulance and shootings, and you read about it, you hear about it, and you keep saying to yourself, no, 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 it's got to get better. It's, you know, we don't have to do this. We don't have to live like this. But there are people who are just determined to do it. Absolutely determined to mess things up, to mess their own lives up, to mess others up, you know, to hurt people. Now, it used to be a time when we would look at how many crimes there have been in Minneapolis. It's always Minneapolis, right? And then they start talking about St. Paul, and they try to explain it. They try to tell us, oh, don't worry about it. It's going to get better. And then sometimes it does. It actually does. And we feel very comfortable being able to go into areas that once had a really bad reputation. So here's the thing for me. I'm not going to be afraid. I can't afford that. My heart and my head doesn't need to have to worry about that. What I do want to be is very clear about what is happening in our state and what specifically is happening in the Twin Cities. Now, there are those who will write articles and they'll complain about it, or they'll ask the questions and say, well, you know, it's really too bad, as they wrap up the whole conversation, right? It's just too bad that this is happening. No, no, no. It's not that it's too bad. It's worse than that. Because our children are watching. So those of us that have a chance to actually live in the Twin Cities and in the great state of Minnesota comfortably, peacefully, God bless you. Not everyone has that opportunity. And of course, we know that we have so many people that come from other states and even other countries here in our great state of Minnesota. That's one of the things I happen to love about Minnesota. It's one of the things I love about it. Yet, we also see the harm that it's doing to our state and our even parts of our country. People talk about us, right? You know, when I was in Los Angeles for almost a month back in August, there were people talking about Minnesota going, man, we've heard so much about Minnesota and you guys got some challenges too. Yeah, we do. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I'm not going to lie to them and say, oh no, we're doing just fine. I'm not going to do that because that's not going to help us get better. It's not going to help me heal on all of the things that we learn and hear about in Minneapolis and St. Paul even now. So let's try our best to be positive about the Twin Cities. I know that we are positive about the state of Minnesota, but the Twin Cities, for some reason, is the one thing we keep talking about. And it's enough to drive you mad sometimes. You know, I don't say to myself, I'm going to stop reading about it or I'm going to stop watching it on television. I don't say that. And there are times I really want to, and there are times that I actually gave into it. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. But if you don't hear it and you don't understand it and you don't know what is happening, then there's nothing we can do about it individually. But there's always a way for us to get together and say, no, we're going to try to make sure that we do our part to make it better. That includes me, everyone. That includes me. So as we look at all the gifts we want to get for the holidays, that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. What I am concerned about is whether or not we are making sure that we are taking care of others, not just ourselves. And some people can't even do it themselves. There's so many hurting. Don't forget about that, okay? And thank you for every one of you that have already helped, that have already given, that have already said, what more can I do? Thank you. You show us how to do it. The key is to make sure we do it. It's been a pleasure being with you. And of course, with Center Stage, I absolutely love this hour. And that is coming up next. Ginger Commodore will be our first guest. And I can't wait to talk with her. I know her well. She and I have been in group singing together. She can truly sing her face off. Stay tuned. It is now 8:53 here at WCCO. Welcome back. And as we wrap up this hour, there's a lot of stuff that we all need to be considering, too, as we enjoy the holidays, as we keep moving into December. I know that sometimes it's a lot. It's a lot on us, right? You don't know exactly what to do. You'll say, oh, my gosh, I don't have the time to wrap gifts and go shopping and even get online. It's a lot. It's a lot that's going on in our world, especially here in the great state of Minnesota, and specifically the Twin Cities. There are challenges. I hear, oh my gosh, I hear ambulance and shootings, and you read about it, you hear about it, and you keep saying to yourself, no, it's got to get better. It's, you know, we don't have to do this. We don't have to live like this. But there are people who are just determined to do it. Absolutely determined to mess things up, to mess their own lives up, to mess others up, you know, to hurt people. Now, it used to be a time when we would look at how many crimes there have been in Minneapolis. It's always Minneapolis, right? And then they start talking about St. Paul, and they try to explain it. They try to tell us, oh, don't worry about it. It's going to get better. And then sometimes it does. It actually does. And we feel very comfortable being able to go into areas that once had a really bad reputation. So here's the thing for me. I'm not going to be afraid. I can't afford that. My heart and my head doesn't need to have to worry about that. What I do want to be is very clear about what is happening in our state and what specifically is happening in the Twin Cities. Now, there are those who will write articles and they'll complain about it, or they'll ask the questions and say, well, you know, it's really too bad, as they wrap up the whole conversation, right? It's just too bad that this is happening. No, it's not that it's too bad. It's worse than that. Because our children are watching. So those of us that have a chance to actually live in the Twin Cities and in the great state of Minnesota comfortably, peacefully, God bless you. Not everyone has that opportunity. And of course, we know that we have so many people that come from other states and even other countries here in our great state of Minnesota. That's one of the things I happen to love about Minnesota. It's one of the things I love about it. Yet, we also see the harm that it's doing to our state and our even parts of our country. People talk about us, right? You know, when I was in Los Angeles for almost a month back in August, there were people talking about Minnesota going, man, we've heard so much about Minnesota and you guys got some challenges too. Yeah, we do. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I'm not going to lie to them and say, oh no, we're doing just fine. I'm not going to do that because that's not going to help us get better. It's not going to help me heal on all of the things that we learn and hear about in Minneapolis and St. Paul even now. So let's try our best to be positive about the Twin Cities. I know that we are positive about the state of Minnesota, but the Twin Cities, for some reason, is the one thing we keep talking about. And it's enough to drive you mad sometimes. You know, I don't say to myself, I'm going to stop reading about it or I'm going to stop watching it on television. I don't say that. And there are times I really want to, and there are times that I actually gave into it. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. But if you don't hear it and you don't understand it and you don't know what is happening, then there's nothing we can do about it individually. But there's always a way for us to get together and say, no, we're going to try to make sure that we do our part to make it better. That includes me, everyone. That includes me. So as we look at all the gifts we want to get for the holidays, that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. What I am concerned about is whether or not we are making sure that we are taking care of others, not just ourselves. And some people can't even do it themselves. There's so many hurting. Don't forget about that, okay? And thank you for every one of you that have already helped, that have already given, that have already said, what more can I do? Thank you. You show us how to do it. The key is to make sure we do it. It's been a pleasure being with you. And of course, with Center Stage, I absolutely love this hour. And that is coming up next. Ginger Commodore will be our first guest. And I can't wait to talk with her. I know her well. She and I have been in groups singing together. She can truly sing her face off. Stay tuned.